Joining us right now, you just heard some of her great music. That's from a brand new CD. It's called Can't Push a River. And she is someone who's multi-talented. She can sing, she can write, and she looks damn good. Joining us right now, J.C. Ray. Hi, J.C.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
Let me check. Pretty good, thanks.
Thank you for that introduction. How sweet. I was fine until you said, oh, and she looked, I was like, oh, my God.
I love the picture on the cover of Can't Push a River.
Thank you. That's one of my favorite places to go, and I was actually freezing my hind off. I said, because it was taken in January. I was like, take the picture. As you see, which the audience can't, I'm barefoot in the ocean in a crop top and a tiny pair of pants.
Yes.
Like, if the wind's blowing and that scarf thing was going all over my face, I'm like, quick, take the picture.
And folks, you got to buy it just for the picture, because the crop top is pretty much, it's overloaded.
Oh.
There's no more room in that top.
Well, you know, I was born that way. I didn't get inflated.
That's a good thing. Now, you also have written a book. It's called Winning Points with the Woman in Your Life, One Touchdown at a Time.
Correct.
How to score for men and women.
Yep.
Now, I don't need one of these things. I do okay.
Well, that's great.
But you know, and that's despite my appearance. So.
Oh.
Yeah, I got a face for radio.
I don't have the privilege that you do to see what you look like.
So, well, yes, you did. You could have just gone on our website. There's 120 pictures on there. So.
Oh, sorry.
You didn't prepare for the interview correctly.
Well, I'm sorry. We're dealing with this campaign coming up, so I have, honestly, I do research the host, but I have not even had a chance. I've barely slept in 3 days, so.
I feel completely slighted, that's all I can say.
Sorry.
What can I say, you know? But tell us a little bit why you wrote the book, first of all.
Well, people find it really odd that, you know, first of all, a country singer who tours around the world and does all that would, first of all, be a writer. That's the first thing they think is odd. But the second part they think is odd is that how can she write about relationships, you know, if she's a country singer? So the first answer that I have to give is that I wrote the book because I was dating somebody in the NFL, and he was actually clueless about relationships. We were actually sitting watching a game for his team, and I was like, you know, you got to start scoring some points with me. You know, right now I'm lucky I actually have my soulmate now, but this is like 3 years ago. I'm like, you need to start winning, and that's where it came from.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, you know, I can write about relationships. I can write about all that stuff. I actually started studying counseling, psychology, relationships, communication, the whole thing, when I was 9, informally. I read everything you could ever read, and we had a little introductory course in junior high, and by high school I was studying it formally and through college. So I actually have a background in psychology, but that's how I wrote the book. I was thinking, though, comparing, you know, relationships with football, how can I do that? That's crazy, but it actually works quite well because football and relationships have a lot to do with each other as far as, you know, how we communicate. Teams have to communicate correctly. They've got a certain language they have to learn so that they can score on the field. They have to work as a team. They have to listen to the coach. And the coach in this case would be relationships that you see are successful that you want to pattern yourself after.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting when you compare the male and the female of the species, their desires, everything's completely different. And when you know the game plan, it's a lot easier to navigate.
Exactly. And that's, you know, also we need to learn to celebrate the fact that we are so different. You know, people are always, but they don't. Be happy that we don't think and do everything alike, or it would be boring, and you wouldn't have anything to be interested in if we were all exactly the same. So we have some huge differences. The biggest part is that, you know, women only speak between 12,000 and 13,000 words a day, and men, that's what men speak. Women speak between 25,000 and 26,000 words a day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people, when they think about that, they go, wow, no wonder my husband or my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my brother or my sister or my mom or my dad or whatever don't, you know, want to talk to me as women, when they realize that we actually want to speak a whole lot more than men need to speak. And so we use a lot of superfluous words. And one day I was up with my outdoor adventure club, and we were up snow skiing. And I had just put this example in the book, because this is my second edition. I just put an example of the book of women and men and the way they give directions, even with, you know, our GPS systems, our navigation systems, Yahoo Maps, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
We still give directions. And women, you know, give a whole bunch of descriptors in there, and men just usually give the left, the right, 3 miles down, and that. Anyway, I just put that whole example in, and as I was sitting there talking to some of my friends in the club, there was a girl behind me, and she was giving directions to these two guys, and then you see a group of guys, and everybody was all in good fun, but there was a group of guys in the corner going, yeah, go down to the purple car on the left, right, of the pink, you know, little shades, and
I started laughing. Perfectly illustrating your point.
Yeah, I was laughing my head off. I was like, oh, my gosh, there you go.
Let's talk about your performing aspect. Talk a little bit about your childhood. Were either of your parents are musically inclined? Where'd you pick up the music?
Absolutely not. I say that with all love intended. My grandmother actually is the only musician that I knew growing up, and she wasn't a musician in the ranks of she went out and played for people and played a bunch of instruments. She played piano. And by the age of like 2, that's when I start remembering. I remember climbing up to the little bench and climbing onto it, and she'd be playing these beautiful masterpieces, you know, from Bach and Beethoven, and I'd be pounding the keys on the very high register trying to match what she did. And, you know, it was horrible, I'm sure, and she was patient, and she let me. And by the age of 3, she got me this little teeny keyboard, and I sat under her grand piano, and I would play along with her. And that's how I actually picked up music. I heard it, and I was able to play it.
What were you listening to at that time? What kind of music?
What was I listening to at that time?
Yeah, who were your influences?
My mom was hugely into the Eagles. And so I listened to them. I listened. She was hugely into John Denver. She was big into Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. So I guess it was a country influence that she had. She wasn't really into rock and roll that I know of. Those are what I heard in her vehicle. And when I first started playing, guitar. I didn't really know how to play guitar, actually. Anybody, well, when I first, my first gig, I did not know how to play guitar. I knew how to play piano only because I'd been listening to my grandmother, and I would play, and that's how I picked it up. And we were really, really, really poor. And there was no instruments around the house, and there was this old, except for this old beat-up guitar that had three rusty strings on it, literally. And I had seen this lady singing at this club, and I said, I can do that. And I was bitterly shy, too, which is amazing because people say, "How?" And still now I'm really shy, but they say, how can you be shy in what you do? Well, there's a difference. I can be J.C. Ray or I can be J.C. Ray, you know. And if I walk in room as J.C. Ray, I'm kind of like the one that goes off in the corner until, you know, some friends come around and then I'm chatty with them. But I'm the shy one.
You can't
one.
Be that shy. I heard you walked on the Jerry Lewis walkathon when you were five.
Yeah, I was bold, though. There's a difference. I was shy, but I was bold. And the reason why I was able to do Jerry Lewis was because I knew, I was such a strange kid.
Excuse me, we had a newsflash, folks. She did Jerry Lewis. When was this? I didn't know about that.
I keep hearing a pop. I didn't actually do the Jerry Lewis telephone. I don't know.
No,
that
I thought you did. I did the Jerry Lewis,
the big, huge walk-run thing that they had.
I thought you said you did
Jerry
Lewis.
But I went up on
Lewis.
The stage okay. with Jerry Lewis.
I thought you said you did Jerry Lewis.
No.
So I was very excited about that. That was a big news flash here.
You're bad. No. Mm. No, I was just one of those strange kids. I walked up and they told me what I needed to do, but I knew that I could walk when other kids couldn't, and so that's why I did that thing. But I was a bold kid. So anyway, at 9, I went up, and the stage guy that said, oh, sure, you can do that, and he goes, okay, we'll come back on Monday. And I said, okay. So I got my friend, and I said, we've got to be singing in 3 days on stage. She goes, what? I don't know how to sing. And I go, well, we've got to learn. And she goes, she's like, are you insane? And I said, yeah, we got to play guitar. I said, I have this one guitar with three strings on it. We got to learn how to play. And she's thinking I'm crazy. So I went to my neighbor. She taught me two chords and gave me two strings to put on the bottom thing. And we went up there and probably sucked. But from there, I don't know what happened. It just kind of took off. Maybe they thought we were so cute, you know, that they let us come back every Monday, and then we got our act together. And pretty soon I was doing fairs, and, you know, now I tour around the world. So.
And what happened to this other woman, your best friend?
She moved away. I was so tragically sad. I still know her, but because I was so shy, she moved away a year later. Her family moved her up to Northern California, a different part, way far away. And I was by myself, so I was so devastated. I was devastated.
I didn't realize that you've written quite a few books. I thought, you know,
yeah.
the first one I read was the one, you know, the winning book here. But see, now the one that would interest me that I haven't seen is The Life and Times of Large Busted Women.
Well, that's a comedy one, and that actually was slotted to be released, but I pulled it. Because I decided I wanted to add some more stuff, because what people know, because I talk about it publicly for people who do plastic surgery, and if you were to go onto my website, you would see an article there, and the plastic surgery, some of those, there's a plastic surgery society that actually wants me to speak for them, but I actually had a breast reduction. When you see that picture on the cover of my CD, that's after my breast reduction.
Oh,
and,
my God.
Yeah. I had a medical breast reduction. I waited for a long time to have that, and I used the guy that was on my insurance company, and he botched it big time, 18 surgeries later.
Ooh.
And yeah,
that's
so,
a tough surgery anyway. You know, I know a lot of women who've had that, and it always leaves really terrible scarring. It's not like getting an implant, which is a lot easier and, you know, less visible.
Yeah, and I tell people, don't just take plastic surgery lightly. I mean, I didn't take plastic surgery lightly. I had done my research, I thought, plus he was on my insurance policy. I figured, you know, and I had a good insurance policy. I thought, well, you know, that would be okay. Well, it's not okay. I still have two more surgeries to go, and I have one of the best plastic surgeons in America, actually. He is the best for that area. And it's a devastating thing. You've got to really... These women who go to the cheap surgeons who say, you know, I just wanted to save some money, don't. This is one area you do not want to save money. And I wasn't doing all that. I just happened to have a very bad surgeon, and that happened to get away with it on my insurance policy. So you just have to be really careful, and you don't want to go through what I have been through, and I have been to hell and back, literally.
Do you regret that you had it done in the first place?
I so regret it. Had my options were this. I was hit by a car some years ago, and I had to learn how to walk again. And two of the discs in my neck have exploded out. And they said that they were so high that I had to have, I was also getting these really bad headaches, and I passed out for the first time, and they said, they found me, figured out it was from my neck, and they said, well, you have to have surgery on your neck. The problem is there's a 50-50 chance of total paralyzation. And I said, huh? I said, I want a different option.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, these are your options. Your options are to have breast reduction surgery to get the weight off that, and to have a minor surgery on your neck to see if that worked. And I said, I'll take that, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And so 8 months later, after researching three different doctors, I picked a doctor, but then my insurance company was stalling and, you know, trying to do this and that. And by the time they finished, my doctor had retired.
Wow.
So I got the next best doctor that was on the list, which I had not researched that much, but I didn't have a lot of choice because I had to get it done. The pain was getting too bad.
So how did the neck surgery go?
The neck surgery, oh, that was scary. It worked. It worked. I still have some problems. I still, you know, have... get headaches, and I still got, but I haven't passed out or anything like that, so and my arm still goes numb and stuff like that. But I know they have a new surgery where they have a disc that they can actually have a disc they regenerate from your DNA cells,
mm-hmm.
and they can put it in. So, you know, there was a serious reason why I had to have breast reduction, but, you know, and I had to have it. It wasn't like I was just saying, well, I just want them smaller, which I totally agree with those people who just want to get smaller breasts because there is there's a lot of weight you're carrying there.
Mm-hmm.
But mine was very serious, and I had to have it done, and I had considered it since I was actually 18, and the only reason I didn't when I was a kid is because my girlfriend had it, and twice they grew back. And that is a risk that you take when you are having breast reduction, is they can grow back. And if you're having that big of a surgery, you don't want them to grow back.
How many surgeries did you have in that area now?
I've had 18 surgeries.
I'm trying to even picture how you can have 18 surgeries in that area.
I had three in 2 months because there was so much infection and so much problem that guy left in and caused problems with. It's tragically sad.
You know, it's amazing, though, because I had no idea about any of this when I was talking to you here, because I'm looking at the picture, you look very healthy, you look great, and there's no indication in any of the things I'm looking at here that you have a problem, so I'm completely shocked by the whole thing, because you look healthy, and you seem, you know...
People, when they see me as really healthy, robust, I run races, I do all kinds of things. You know, I'm tired a lot, but they can't tell because I just keep going.
Mm.
You would never know what happened to me if you were just to be talking to me down the street. The only reason I talk about it is because I really believe it's so important for people to understand the ramifications of what happened. If I just, you know, if I didn't care about people and care about somebody else having this nightmare happen to them, I wouldn't say anything because it's kind of an embarrassing thing. It's not something you just want to share and spread the word.
Mm.
I'm a Discovery Child, you know, poster child. Discovery Channel poster child.
Mm.
What went wrong? You know, but I do so because people really need to understand that plastic surgery is not just something you play with.
Did you sue the surgeon that did the original?
No, I did not. I should have. I was going through so much trauma from it all. The first year, actually, with that picture that you see right there, I was actually sicker than a dog.
Really?
Yeah, I was really sick. The infection was so bad. You would never guess. I had a tour through Europe in about 6 weeks from then, and I was sicker than a dog, but I did my stuff, and nobody knew while I was on stage. But when you get off stage, I was really sick. You know, I wish I could have sued the surgeon, actually, now thinking about it, but I didn't know there was a year statute thing, and I just assumed he would make it right.
So I hope you've been spreading the word about this guy so other people won't be victimized.
My doctor has. I don't even have to say a word. As a matter of fact, his cousin, I just walked in because I have to go for ultrasounds every week to help with scar tissue,
mm-hmm.
and I walked in, and he said, you know what, JC, he goes, we were just talking about you this morning. Oh, yeah, your favorite patient, huh? And he goes, no, he goes, my cousin called, and she asked me about two doctors that were on her plan because she has to have surgery. And I said, stay away from that one guy. And I'm not, like, I'm not legally allowed to say his name over the air, but he talks about this doctor, and this is an entirely different state than where my doctor is. Mm. But my doctor has spread the word quite capably.
Well, you should too. You should write something on one of your CDs on them.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Let's talk about some good news. Like, you were the female vocalist of the year at the GMAs in Nashville.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I was actually, it was one of those things. I went to the awards show, and I was actually late, not because of me, but some of the girls that I was with, they were, like, really running behind, and I was like, oh, come on, hurry up. We don't want to walk in late, you know? And and this is for the, it's the only award show that encompasses both independent and major label artists. And I was actually up against Alison Krauss, and Alison Krauss was the big major one that I was up against.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I knew I'd never win, that's what I thought, because mm-hmm. Alison Krauss was up against mm-hmm. me, you know?
Right.
And so anyway, my girlfriends were really running late. I'm like, come on, we've got to go. You know, they're not going to let us in. mm-hmm. And we were actually so late that we were in the back of the auditorium, big, huge thing. And so the security person was talking to me and saying, well, you need this, that, whatever, the pass, whatever. And so I'm trying to show them the pass and get them the stuff, and I didn't hear my name called. Mm. And my friends all slapping me on the side, come on, JC, what? I go, this guy's trying to get my thing for me. And she won. I go, I won what? You know? He won me what? I go, no, I didn't, shut up. Now, come on, you know, because I thought that she was kidding.
Mm.
And so I was up on stage, literally, you see a picture of me, and I'm just, like, stunned. And I didn't know what to say because I was one late and I wasn't prepared.
Allison's a really cool cat too. We had her on the show when she first started her career.
Oh,
she was in the studio with me, and she's a very talented young lady. So to beat her, you're doing pretty well.
Oh, I was stunned. And she's just—I mean, to me, she's got this incredible voice. And what people don't know about her is that she produces a lot of acts, and people don't know that. But then that takes a lot of talent to be able to produce acts that chart and do well, and she's really good, and she's an incredible musician to boot. So she's one of those all talented, all playing, all wonderful musicians.
I love the new CD, Can't Push a River, particularly great versions of Don't Think Twice, It's All Right by Dylan and Crazy. Do you write any of your own music? I noticed in this one it's all covers.
And some of them were written for me. Yeah, I do. I don't have the confidence, and my team is trying to give me the confidence to want to put some of my stuff on CDs. I don't know. It might be a combination that the music is so personal to me that I think it would be hard for me to record it. Or it might be just that I'm not confident in the message of my song. I don't know.
Well, let me give you some quick advice as a guy who's interviewed thousands of artists, okay? The people who sing that haven't written have always told me at the end, I wish I could go back and just put at least one song on every album, because it's a great financial reaping for you. Even if you get one of your songs on each CD, it makes a lot of money.
When I do seminars, because the other book I wrote that you, I don't know, send that? The Ultimate Guide to Music Success?
The only one I have is Winning Points.
Oh, I wonder why they didn't send. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The Ultimate Guide to Music Success, I was asked to write articles because of my success as an artist. And so I started, and then I ended up writing a book because other artists were coming to me. But I do talk about that because it's huge. You get 8.5 cents per CD when a normal artist on a CD will get, you know, 1, 2, 3 points.
Right.
And that's a penny or 10% of whatever the sale, and the sale price is not the $16.95 or the $12.98 that you're paying over the thing. It's the wholesale price that the record company, you know,
right,
is paying. So, and out of that little percentage, you have to pay all the recoupable costs, which are, you know, management, production costs, everything. So you end up with nothing. But the writers don't have a lot of investment in it. They just wrote the song.
Exactly.
And not that they just wrote the song. I really have a lot of respect for writers because they have a lot of talent. Yeah, well, I agree. See, that's the thing. it's so funny because I speak about that. I say you need to write your own stuff, and my team is always saying, "Yeah, you're saying that, but how come you're not letting your stuff go on there?"
Yeah, Jason, you need to listen to your own self. Listen to yourself, even if you don't think it's the best song you've ever done. Just put it on the next CD. Put one of your songs on there, just to you'll be happy about it later.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Thanks for the encouragement. I really appreciate that idea. Because it's terrible. I know it's a terrible representation of what I speak about. You know, I don't practice my own preaching there.
Now, so. I noticed the book and the CD are all from North Shore. Is that your company?
That's our company, correct.
Okay.
Correct. I started it to help people, but now it's beyond me, so. Not helping people, but it's gotten so big, and you know, because the fact that I legitimately wanted to help people, I didn't just want to do it for myself. And I guess because I did it that way, it succeeded all by itself. So it's fun.
For anybody who would like to get the CD or any of the books, she's written a ton of books here. I've only got one of them, but there's a lot of them that she's written. If you want to get them, all you got to do is go to her website. It's JACIRAE.com.
Yeah.
And you can order whatever you'd like to get, and you'll actually get to meet JC, who's a very nice young lady. I hope that all your surgeries come out well, and that you feel as good as you look and are performing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I you know, I look forward to the day when I feel at least semi back to the way I used to feel. I really do. But I've been blessed. I have, you know, good energy. I have great people behind me. I've been able to continue doing what I do. And just so everybody knows, tomorrow we are actually officially releasing the second edition of Winning Points with a Woman in Your Life, One Touchdown at a Time. So if they go to my site, the JACIRAE.com, tomorrow, and they order actually from Amazon, they can go back to my site, and I have a lot of friends in the psychology community that are like really famous, and they've given their best-selling books as a bonus gift to anybody who orders tomorrow. It's only available tomorrow. That's it. So there's $2,400 worth of bonus gifts, and
ooh,
it's very exciting. I'm very excited, but they wanted to do that to honor me. So I was like, to thank me, I guess. So it was really nice. I was like, really? So anyway, they are doing this whole promotion for tomorrow only. And
so in other words, to sum it up, tomorrow, you should order tomorrow.
Exactly, because I really want them to reap the benefits of the gifts. There's some prosperity advisors, the people that work with Tony Robbins. Actually, I think it's the guy that trained Tony Robbins. T. Harv Eker is giving his Speed Wealth book. I mean, there's just some great stuff in there that they really need to get. So I'm excited.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. And if you come to Boston, I hope you'll look us up and say hi.
I sure will. And I love Boston. It's a beautiful city. So.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much for having me on. I had fun, and I hope everybody, if nothing else, go to the site and read the plastic surgery article so that you know, if you're considering plastic surgery.
Well, I am considering plastic surgery, so I don't look like me, but...
me a break.
There's a long way to go, though. Hey, it was nice to talk to you.
It was great talking to you, Mark, and thank
Take
you for
care.
Having me on the show, and have a great day.
Bye, JC.
Okay, bye.